Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. We're getting ready to start in session number 8. This is about the Antichrist. This is about, well, we've called him Homo Satanus, the mix. Crossing the line, out of time. Listen to a little bit of Rev 7 in the midst of this. In these hot days of spiritual confusion, spiritual alternatives, and massive spiritual deception, there has been a lot of crossing the line. It is no question that Antichrist himself, well, even being born as the counterfeit to the Christ, is a crossing of the line. Isn't that what it's all about? Humanity, we've all crossed the line, folks. We have totally crossed the line. Hello to those dear friends in Russia, many other places around the world right now that has been tuning in and listening to this series, and I appreciate the letters and or emails. I want to say to you that today is session number 8 in the series on the rise of Homo Satanus, and we're going to deal with the book of Daniel. And listen, for the psychics, remote viewers, and New Agers, and others that get a hold of this, and even by the providence of God, those of you who are Luciferian in your real, I mean, listen, real ones. Some of you in the deep places and dark places over there in Europe. I want you to know, and even, listen, military soldiers and others, what is about to happen in the world is feared by millions. Talked about, you know, and written about all over the world right now. So is the Antichrist alive somewhere? And is there preparation for his ascendancy, his apocalypse? We are talking about the individual that will help close out the last 7 years of human history as you and I know it. So on the one hand, we're talking about the closure of history and all of evil and death, all of this fallen, broken, fragmented world that we're living in. But we're also talking about the 7 years that will be the most devastating in all of human history. They'll be the most devastating in all of human history. They will bring about the deaths of, well, one-third of the human race, at least that many halfway into the Hey Thalipsis, Hey Magali, the Great, the Tribulation. Listen, you are listening to the series Rise of Homo Satanus, the voice of an ancient hate. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. If you're brand new to us, shatterthedarkness.net on the web if you are new to us. Going back to Daniel, guess what? 2,600 years ago. And I'm glad to say, because Nostradamus has not been correct in all of his quatrains and prophecies and predictions. He tried, he mixed a lot of it. You cannot mix the Spirit of God with occultism. You cannot mix the Spirit of God and the razor-sharp, accurate, detailed prophecy, prediction. Because we're talking about prophetic revelation that comes from the infinite and not the finite. The finite will always be wrong. And that's why there's going to be enormous inaccuracy among remote viewers and psychics and individuals like Casey and Nostradamus and so many others. What we want is that which is absolutely accurate, that gives witness to the infinite perfect nature of God. But let's go beyond the evidence of his perfection and his the attributes of infinity, immeasurability, well, the omnipresence of God. There just is no place where his presence is not, if I can say it like that. This is the omniscience, the knowing, the detailed knowing of every molecule, every bird in a tree, every hair on your head, every pain in your heart, and whether or not your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the bottom line to all of this. And I pray that you take this to heart today, because what we're talking about is the ascendancy to the unprecedented satanic demonic manifestation in human history. Now, you and I have been in the frog in the kettle approach for 30, 40, 50 years, specifically since the end of the Nazis. Now, you remember, a lot of people thought Hitler was the stern-faced king, that Hitler was the man of intrigue, that Hitler was the man of flatteries, that Hitler was the man of the god of fortresses. And he was like an regional antichrist. It was a world war, kind of. It involved many nations. It brought millions to their knees into bloodshed. It brought great devastation. But Hitler, unless he's the one that's going to be resurrected, and by the way, there are Luciferians, Brotherhooders, those who are really adept at the dark side. I'm talking about they are the ones at the cutting edge of hell's council. They do believe that Hitler will be the resurrected. Now, whether you or I believe that, that's another story. Even Dr. Van Kampen in the prophecy book called The Sign, in one of the chapters, makes reference to the possibility of the resurrection of Hitler. He died with a mortal wound. Does this mean he will be cloned and in a genetic mix, kind of a hybrid mix, be brought into the world again? That I don't know for sure, but there are those deep, dark undergrounders that engage with their lord they call Lucifer, the light being, and they, of course, they believe it's the new Führer, the man to come. And so they believe that Antichrist is a resurrected Hitler. And we will see down the road. The bottom line is that the man of lawlessness, as I say, anthropos, man, anamos, lawlessness, this is the one that comes to oppose and everything that is spiritually, everything that we consider goddesses, gods, everything. He is the great ultimate betrayer of the New Age movement. He is the great seducer and eventual utter total betrayer of the New Age movement. He has literally taken the New Age movement by the hooks, and they will not get what he has promised. There will be no evolution to human deification. Cannot happen, has never happened, not even with the fallen cherub. But let's get into Daniel. 2,600 years ago, we have the accuracies. And let me say again the vital importance. Why did God have it inscripturated? Why did the Spirit of God lay it out and engage one of the greatest people, individuals that walk with God in human history was Daniel. He lived in Babylon, 53, 56 temples to demon gods, a territorial demonic prince, the Prince of Persia, that is still there, by the way, over that entire region, by the way. And so he is absolutely, totally saturated with demonic sorcerers, enchanters, the Chaldeans, everything is around him that would bring massive suppression to his faith. He was shielded. He was like in a bubble of protection. No, not the New Age. Imagine yourself, you know, wrapped around with light wrapped around you. Not that. We're talking about chapter 1 where Daniel resolved, fixed his heart. He fixed his heart, my friends, that he would not yield to corruption, not allow himself to be tainted in any way by slamming the door on the world and the flesh and the devil. He opened the door for the hand of Yahweh Adonai, God. And God operated into his life in such a way that we have some of the most supernatural engagement, supernatural protection. The book of Daniel is an entirely great book that we should be letting God speak to us and God teach us and God show to us in how to live in days where there is oppression, where there is spiritual oppression. I'm talking against believers in the real Christ, the real God of heaven. So whether you're in China or whether you're in Russia or whether you're in an Arab country right now where there may be a suppression against your personal faith in Christ, question is why? Well, the answer is the spiritual nature that is upon and operating through those who oppose you as a believer in Christ. It's always that. Because it makes no sense to be against a real Christian who believes in a God that loves the world, that would pray for the sick, feed the hungry, worship God, live in truth and honesty and integrity, and simply believe that and proclaim that Jesus Christ is God, that He is the Savior. Why would anybody want to hate that unless there was a supernatural presence and power that operated? Now take again a look at Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now the spirit that now is operating in lives, in hearts all over the world that have not opened their hearts to God. Now listen, if you're listening to me right now and you do not have the Spirit of God in your life, you can become a platform. Even military guys that are listening right now, you can become a platform for a dark presence. I was reading the story by, I think his name is John Ronson, that wrote the book, The Men Who Stare at Goats. And in the book, he talks about Abu Ghraib and talking to soldiers, U.S. soldiers, who talked about, all of them talked about in that place there was a presence, a shadowy presence. It seemed as though they said it almost was there observing them, watching them, moving upon them, and beginning to work in them the same way that presence worked in Saddam's regime. There, people, women were raped by dogs. They were killed. They were slaughtered, shot, tortured. A place of grave evil. And listen, if the dark side has penetrated and made its home there, anybody else coming that is without the protection of the Spirit of God dwelling within, about the authority of the living Christ, then you're vulnerable, you're a platform, and there is the possibility that another supernatural presence is seeking to influence your mind, influence your heart, influence your behavior, operate in and through you in opposition to God, in opposition to Christ. Now that's what Daniel had to face in his day. Daniel had to face individuals that were in touch with a supernatural presence that sought complete sovereign control over the region and sought to oust, as always, the living Creator God of heaven and earth. Listen, my friends, there is a battle. There is an agenda. That's why there's conflict. That's why there's trouble. It's not just man alone. There is in the world, and there is under biblical prophetic revelation, the predictions that the spiritual antagonism will grow to a massive critical mass of consensus, of opposition to Christians, real believers in Christ. See, the demons know whether you're real or not, whether you're really born of the Spirit of God and the living Christ dwells in you or not. Read the book of Acts if you remember the story where the demons spoke through a human being to individuals that were not saved, didn't have the Spirit of God in them, didn't know Jesus Christ, but they tried to use Jesus' name like a New Age rabbit's foot. Like a magical charm. And the demons spoke back and said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, because he was saved and born in the Spirit. But who are you? And the demonic presence in the possessed individual led him to attack all those individuals and beat them. There is an evil presence in the world, and that presence is operating And that presence may have already led in the supernatural birth of a counterfeit incarnation that will produce the little horn, the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, the beast. The biblical descriptions are the only accurate ones. They are not only the only accurate ones, they give us detailed information, strategic information, way ahead of time. So we're going back 2,600 years that God would give to us specific, detailed information about the one to come. Now, for many of you who are students of the book of Daniel, you know it's an incredible book where God details the kingdom of the Babylonians, the historic kingdom of the Babylonians, eventually the Mede-Persian, the Medo-Persian kingdom, and then eventually Alexander and the Greeks had come in, and then eventually the Rome, the great world empire of Rome. And about 600 years in the development, even in the before Rome, we find this detailed development of the end of Babylon, the rise of Medo-Persia, Alexander and the Greek, you know, coming in, and eventually that kingdom being broken down, four of the generals take it in other directions, the Romans come in. I think that God gave that as part of the evidence of his detailed, infallible, accurate ability. Why do we think it's strange that God would have the infallible and accurate ability, since he's omniscient, omnipresent? He's beyond the future. He's throughout the past. He's beyond human history. And he's in the present. All of that in the same moment. There is nothing that God does not know. And God knows you from beginning to end. God knows whether you're going to be standing in the heavens embracing him as a child of God. Whether you've come to the living Christ and recognized the Savior of the world. And so what you're studying right now, depending on the background of your life, and I perceive by the same Spirit of God in this session, specifically, soldiers. Soldiers that listen. Because the Antichrist's presence in the world is his own connection to the God of fortress, the God of war. We're talking about the unprecedented military system that will be developed as never before in human history. It's on the way. It doesn't happen overnight. There is this incremental approach, step by step, stage by stage. I've called it the sequence of satanic evolution. We're coming around to the great burst, the big revolt, the chaos before the new order. In the book of Daniel, written 2,600 years ago, not only inspired by the Spirit of God, preserved by the Spirit of God, now the Spirit of God lifts these words to speak to hearts. So I would invite you to study the book of Daniel. It speaks of God's supernatural activity and spiritual warfare that occurred 2,600 years ago. Daniel now has been with God since that time. Daniel will stand in the kingdom of God and I shall see him. And I pray, my dear friend, that you will be there with us. There are two sides of the fence. There are choices to be made. In the book of Daniel, it begins in chapter 2, verse 45. Just going to go through a few things here to tell you this. God's given the meaning of a vision. When God communicates by vision or dream, everything in the vision, everything in the dream is part of a message. A dream or a vision from God is a communication or a message in pictorial form. And every part is communicating some piece of that message. So when you read the vision dreams that occur with Daniel, even in one case, an angel of God has to help interpret it, tell him the meaning of it. Now, this isn't like modern day, you know, if you have orange in your dream, it means this. If there's a fly in your dream, it means that. If there's a cat in your dream, it means this. And somebody's chasing you. This is not about, you know, dreamscaping in that sense. This is direct communication in pictorial form. In Daniel 2:45, God begins to respond saying, this is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain. This is all in reference to the Antichrist and to the regime. Notice what it says concerning this rock, kind of a mountain. This massive, massive picture is of this massive mammoth rock being cut out, which was almost impossible on a human scale. That's why it goes on to say this, but not by human hands. And I'm going to say again and again that the rise of Homo Satanus, the Antichrist, the regime, the New World Order, and all that's coming with it, it is not by just human hands. It is conceived, inspired, guided, directed, empowered by a supernatural operative power that a little over 600 years after the writing of the book of Daniel comes the book of 2 Thessalonians, describing the same dark supernatural presence. The Spirit of God calls it a secret power of lawlessness, already at work, operative. Well, you can read it there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is the rock that is going to break the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. This is the rock that every other empire, this beyond the Babylonians, beyond the Medo-Persians, beyond the Greeks and Alexander the Great, beyond the Empire of Rome, beyond all of this, this new regime with its new leader is beyond all of it. And it goes on to say these words as Daniel repeated it to the king. The great God, referring to Yahweh Adonai, God, has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Now, of course, because Daniel, led by God, was able to not only tell him the meaning of the dream, but tell him what the dream was. God started the whole thing off by infusing into the mind, into the experience of a pagan demon-worshipping king. I believe he worshipped the demon god Nebo. And this disturbed him. This dream that came from the living God disturbed him in such a way, none of the sorcerers, none of those who were in contact with demon gods and goddesses could tap into what God had done. Except for Daniel, on whom the spirit of the holy God dwelled. And God gave him the dream. God gave him the insight. And God told Daniel concerning that king's ultimate demise and four successive historic, if you want to call them nations or empires, that would follow. And then way out into the future, the accuracy of the Babylonians, Medo-Persia, the Greeks, and Rome would lend to the clear accuracy of another coming kingdom. Not just an Antichrist, but a regime that will become worldwide. It will be the most powerful political, economic, governmental system with military, new law, new day, new spiritual power ever in human history. It is completely, as we're going to see, different than any great world empire of the past. It's beyond the United States, beyond Russia, beyond the European Union by itself. We're talking now about the most powerful global government in the history of humanity, fueled by dark presence and power. Going on to Daniel chapter 7, down in verse 19. Daniel says, "Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others." Again, Antichrist and this beast kingdom, this regime that will bring about the most destruction to humanity in world history. The book of Revelation declares there'll be one third of humanity. Over 2 billion people will die in less than 2.5 or 3.5 years. Verse 19, chapter 7, the book of Daniel, he wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the other nations and empires. And listen, the word of God says, and most terrifying, called in verse 19, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims. No wonder, prior to the rise of Antichrist and the coming of this regime, there are some that estimate 4, 5, up to 10 million victims of satanic ritual abuse in the development of satanic super soldiers who will help usher in, bring in both spiritually and physically the reign of this coming beast and his kingdom. Victims, it says. Check that out, chapter 7, verse 19. This Antichrist and his regime that crushed and devoured the victims. It tells you concerning the lethal nature of this kingdom. It begins to give you the picture. When I have seen demonic presence speak through possessed individuals or operate through what are called satanic chosen ones, those birthed in satanic ritual and developed and trained, I have seen a cold, lethal, almost as if there is no conscience whatsoever. They can bring decimation, desecration, and destruction to a human being without flinching. Yea, rather, they would even revel in the destruction of their victims. That's what this kingdom is all about. That is what is beneath the surface of the deep right now. You may see the shark fins, but those fins, those evidences of the coming of the end of the age, those shark fins that give evidences of fulfilled prophecy, are connected to the beast below that will surface. And this most terrifying, this beast that will crush nations and peoples and devour the victims and trample underfoot whatever is left, is coming. Is beneath the surface, is an underground shadow government developing year after year after year after year after year, bulging at the seams, seeking to exert itself on the platform of world history. Daniel says in this next verse 20, he wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up. He wanted to know about the nations, all these unified nations that would be gathered together. He gets the picture, and listen to what it says, referring to one of the horns, the leader, the Antichrist, that looked more imposing than the others, and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. You're going to see this contrast of this concept that he looks human, that he has a human face, that he has eyes in that sense, but that he also has this boastful, incredibly powerful, boastful speaking mouth that I believe represents the adversary. If you read in Revelation 12, the adversary Satan with his mouth night and day brings accusation against all believers in God. How do you think that he was able to persuade one third of the angelic host? You're talking about the most powerful speech giver in existence outside of God. You've got to understand that when the fallen cherub speaks, that when he comes in this hybrid, this cross, this counterfeit incarnation, that when the Antichrist speaks, though he looks like a man, eyes like a man, what comes out of his mouth is the voice of an ancient hate that had been heard in the heavenlies that brought persuasion to one-third of the angelic host to join in the self-exaltation that led to self-disintegration and an eternal nature that opposes God . When I ask you if you've been thinking about the nature of the Antichrist, as soon as we get this glimpse of a picture of the cross, of this concept of the eyes and the mouth, and that spoke boastfully, we're going to see later in Daniel, this is given even more insight as we take a look. In verse 21, he says, "As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them." Now, I believe it has everything to do with, you know, Israel as a whole, but I'm talking here also about believers worldwide. When the great chaos, the great rebellion, the great revolt, they call it the Black Awakening, occurs to bring great destruction everywhere. When that occurs first, and then the rise of the Antichrist, two sides of one coin. On the one hand, the need to annihilate, collapse all the systems, government, electrical grid, food chain, sabotage military, law enforcement, bring the Western world specifically down to its knees, to helplessness, to a feeling of annihilation. And then out of that dark, hidden, supernaturally hidden place comes the rise not only of the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, but also comes the regime that has operated with him, prepared with him, the elitists. You can call them the Illuminati, the Brotherhood, you can call them whatever you want to. They're there. They're there and they're in touch. The fallen cherub had the power to recruit and persuade one-third of the angelic host with his boastful mouth, with his rhetoric, with his lie, with his seduction. He came to the human race and did the same, casting aspersions against God, lying concerning everything, offering the alternative, which some of you may be embraced with the alternative. How do you know? If it didn't come from God, it won't lead you to God. If it didn't come from God, it won't lead you to Christ, to peace with God, the power of God, the gift of eternal life. Knowing God in love, in joy, in personal relationship. If you have spirituality, what's the source? Do you recognize, and one of the great evidences is whether you recognize that God has come in Christ, Savior, Redeemer of the world, coming again. Do you know Him? Because alternative spirituality given by the fallen cherub in his unseen supernatural regime, the spirits, the finite fallen spirits, cannot, will not lead you to Christ, but to guide you away, or at least give you a reframed, de-deified, fake Christ. In chapter 7, verse 22 of this prophetic revelation of God concerning what may be on the brink of your and of my personal human history, here and now, when the Antichrist comes, who does he make war on? Not the rest of the world. Not the New Age movement. Not those who are going to be willing to take the mark and worship the image. Not those who do not have the Spirit of God. He rises with a vengeance to make war on those who have the Spirit of God dwelling within them, in them that confess Christ as Savior, Lord, Messiah, and God. That is the opposition. This is what the underground Satanist and the deep, dark, left-hand path streams have been saying. They know who are real believers. They know who have the real Spirit of the living God dwelling in them. The demonized Chaldeans, sorcerers, and magicians of the days of Daniel knew that Daniel was different, that the Spirit of the Holy God of heaven was on him. That's why they made literally conspiracy against him to have him annihilated and wiped out. You see, the dark side needs to have prayer warriors and those who can become the vessels of God's hand in the world. They need them. They need those doors to shut. They need to silence. Believers, if you're listening to me, don't let the dark side silence you. Right now, rise up, O man of God, O woman of God, and throw off all the suppressive attacks of the dark side, and stand in the mighty power of God. Greater is the one who dwells in you. The blood of Christ, the authority of Christ. Listen, my friend, this is not a day to sit back wondering what to do with your life. Take up the cross of Christ. Live in the power of God. Win the world to Christ. Pray the prayers of authority against the dark side. Listen, when he rises, he knows who to go after. As a matter of fact, I believe that there'll be a lot of information gathering before the day of the apocalypse of the Antichrist. I believe that churches and pastors and leaders and Christians all over the world will be marked. Their homes marked. I believe that the underground satanic soldiers that will usher in the great chaos to bring collapse will be also under the decree to annihilate as many believers in Christ, to shut as many doors to God through whom which God would operate. That is the mode or the methodology of Satan himself. Now immediately in verse 22, God immediately responds by saying, until the Ancient of Days. We're not talking about the Infinite One. We're talking about Almighty, ever-present God. Until the Ancient of Days came, basic concept of the Ancient Days, the basic concept, the furthest one back, nobody behind God. Till the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. So there in the mix of revealing the operative work, the sequential work, when it comes to the rise of the Antichrist, in his speech, in what his face or eyes would be like, in the rise of his regime, a government unlike any in history, different, terrifying, the nature of which will crush victims, pulverizing them, literally. Well, trampling whatever is left of the victimization under their feet. The Ancient of Days will take care of it. God's hand will come in. There will be a movement by God to bring destruction on that which... Remember the story of Saul of Tarsus attacking believers in the book of Acts. And the living Christ stepped in. The story of Saul of Tarsus, of the writing of much of the New Testament, of the massive missionary and devourers and the spread of Christendom, true Christendom in the early days of the church, the first 30 years, we have this incredible encounter of the living Christ and Saul of Tarsus, who was literally making war on the saints in his day. Read about it in the book of Acts, chapter 7 and 8. Breathing out murderous threats And he was stopped in the middle of the road and encountered by the living, resurrected, ascended Christ. He came to believe in the Savior and receive forgiveness. If you have been somebody that has plotted and prayed against and summoned demons against and fought against believers, understand that it is already declared that there is a destruction of that regime. That if you oppose real believers in Christ and seek their harm, you are literally opposing God and Christ and persecuting Him directly. In verse 23, there's an explanation. This fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on the earth. Again, God says it will be different from all other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. You are talking about the most powerful political system in human history, the most powerful military enforcement, the most devastating, the most lethal, the most cruel in human history is just beneath the surface, ready to pounce in world history. Russia can't stop it. The European Union will fold into it. And the United States will not prevent the rise of the fourth kingdom. As you begin to read concerning the operative power of the dark fallen cherub, the way in which he railed in the heavens and persuaded by his powerful, boastful speech, one-third of the angelic host, how he led the human race, you and I, into a fall where death comes in and destruction comes in, separation from God has come in. If you have not understood how he speaks and what he uses, even in the case of the book of Job, where it is Satan himself that brings the destruction, brings the pain, brings the harm with one goal, to get this good man to blame it all on God. In your life right now, bad things may have occurred with a voice that screams behind the bad events, whispering or screaming for you to give up God. God did this. God left you. God's not fair. That dark presence can't stand anyone who loves God, walks with God, stands with God, and will do everything to bring bitter circumstances into your life with one goal: to get you to blaspheme God and give up. And then what do you have? There is no regret in standing for the living Christ. If everybody else has turned their back on you, if everybody else has walked away, if others have stabbed you in the back, if others have harmed you, let me tell you the place of no regret. You stand before the living God who heals the brokenhearted. You embrace the living Christ. You yield to Him. You resolve not to become bitter, not to lose control in anger, and yield yourself to God and stay filled with the Spirit of God and keep loving the way that God wants you to love. Keep forgiving the way that God wants you to forgive. Stand up and build yourself up in your most holy faith, standing stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger in Christ, making a resolve that you will not do what others have done, that you will not speak in bitterness and hypocrisy, that your life will not fall to that. If it has, repent, get up, let God cleanse you. Rise up, O man of God. Rise up, O woman of God. What are you waiting on? Bitterness, anger, disillusionment, discouragement doesn't change and leave out of your heart, mind, and emotions all by itself. You go to the throne of grace. You unleash all your pain and all your harm and all your hurt and all your complaint of others and bring it all before the living presence of God. Draw near, draw near, draw near. Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God. God will draw near directly to you. He will be your healer. He will be the lifter of your head. He will embrace you with grace and mercy wherever you are. He will fill you with a new strength and a new power and a love. You rise up and let Christ be Lord, King. Yield to the Spirit of God. Refuse the tactics, the methods of the enemy of your soul, Christian. Slough him off. Throw all that junk to the ground. Surrender to the living Christ. When you go back to the book of Daniel and you begin to read, and as you begin to read even in chapter 9, we read in 7 more about how the Antichrist will, well, even in chapter 8, start out small, but grow in great power. That he wants to be as great as the prince of the host. That there's going to be rebellion, rebels, destruction, conflict. You've got to understand that terrorism, war, conflict will rise with the corresponding rise of satanic presence. As the demonic realm manifests into the world, as the rise of Antichrist gets closer and closer and closer to cracking that seal of breaking through and having the apocalypse into the physical realm. As he rises to come into the public with his regime, with that rise comes unprecedented spiritual, dark spiritual power, lethal dark spiritual power. Ancient hate will flow around the globe. Don't forget, he's the prince of the power of the Eros, the dense atmosphere around the earth, that living, some people call it the global brain. The feeling of Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist will grow the closer he comes to the surface of public life. And when he does burst upon the scene after the great chaos and anarchy and rebellion and bloodshed, all of which will open the doors of more and more and more presence of the dark side, you will experience global a spirit of Antichrist, a spirit of anti-God of heaven. It'll be in the air. It'll be in the feeling. It'll be in the sense. In the midst of the world's most powerful masquerade. When I read later in the book of Daniel chapter 8, it goes on in verse 24. Even in 23, in the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. When the great rebellion occurs, the great chaos occurs, when the great, well, they call it the Black Awakening, with all the satanic super soldiers, when things become completely wicked, a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 calls it an apocalypse. He's unveiled to the world. He's probably there now. My personal belief is that he exists. Did the Russians care? Did the Czechs, the Finns, the Swedes, the Germans, the Franks, those in England? Did the Chinese care? Every prophetic revelation that God has ever given in the past has come true in exact detail. The ones that are spoken that will unfold before our very eyes will come to pass in exact detail. What are you going to do? In chapter 8, verse 24, referring to the Antichrist, he will become very strong, but not by his own power. On the physical side, that's one thing. Behind the rise of Homo Satanus is the full force of satanic presence. From that side, the unprecedented, unequaled, unmatched manifestation. That means the crossing over of the powers of darkness, manifesting upon, in, through the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the regime, that every ounce of it is conceived in the heart of the fallen cherub. Plotted, planned, developed in a sequence, crashed out into the world. The dark side knows how to break the portholes, the gateways. The dark side knows how to get through. And the predictions of a coming rebellion, a great revolt, as the old translation said, a great chaos that brings blood, fear, terror, is like a satanic ritual culture-wide. It summons the powers. It opens the doors. You can expect, New Agers, a planetary wave of spiritual presence and power, not that will push humanity to evolve to a higher consciousness, but will grip humanity and seek to lock humanity into the masquerade of a counterfeit savior to the world. And that supernatural masquerade and the power behind it, linking those who do not have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living Christ dwelling in them, literally, it will be as though the air is thick with this presence and this power. If you're a believer in Christ and understand the day of Pentecost and the power of God, the rushing sound, the Spirit of God came with sign and wonder and sound and power in the birth and baptizing of the church in the day of Pentecost, and the unleashing of the church in this 2,000 years, prophesied by Joel. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, this is that which Joel prophesied about. The power of God was manifest in such a way that thousands and thousands came running. The power of God was in the air in such a way that when Peter stood up to preach Christ, they were convicted, and thousands surrendered and gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. Now, please understand that when they talk about the great revolt, the great rebellion, the great chaos, I mean, all the deep occult writers have talked about it, the Satanists know, they call it the Satanic Black Awakening, a kind of satanic Pentecost, that when it erupts, the manifestation in an unprecedented, unequaled way in human history, dark powers will manifest and fuel the rise of Homo Satanus to public global status, will fuel the rise of a new government, military system, religion. All of it will be fueled with a force felt, experienced. I mean, dear listener, Go read the book of Revelation chapter 18. In the rise of Babylon, the apex of Babylon, look what God reveals. It has become the dwelling place for manifested demonic presence, every kind of demonic presence you can conceive biblically will be manifested, packed, the air, the streets, the lives of those who have given over to it will be covered. Instead of clothed with power from on high, as we read in the Gospel of Luke, the last chapter for believers in Christ, we're now talking about clothed with power from down below. And the Satanists that are listening, smiling and sneering, that black, dark, satanic power, though felt and infused in you for a period of lethal mission, will rip your soul and you will be in hell. Just as you understand the predictions of Daniel, the prophetic word of God, in your own belief, Luciferian, that a time is coming for the old light bearer, ancient Führer, world teacher, Mahdi, to come to power on the back of mass bloodshed, chaos, and rise and ascend. Yep. You, like Judas, will serve a predicted, defeated cause. A cause that will be so defeated that it will be led to annihilation and to being sealed for eternity. Is that what you're prepared to do and to be? Or will you come out to the living Christ that died for you, human, on the cross, shedding a blood more powerful than anything you've ever seen spilled, and a power that comes from the infinite God to change your heart and life? God would simply say that whosoever, whether you're in France or Spain or South Africa, Manila or Bangalore, India, or you're one of those Russian soldiers listening right now, smoking that cigarette, whosoever calls on the name of the living Christ who died on the cross and rose from the dead, Christ will come into your life, the Spirit of God will come into your life, you will be given the gift of eternal life and forgiveness and the power of God. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Going on in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, referring to that last 7 years of human history, God says the end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end. That's why I believe that from the beginning, the Spirit of God has given me just the sense of prompting to say that there'll be a number of soldiers, both foreign and U.S., that will listen to this. Someone will give it to you, because the concepts of military and war and battle predicted by God, not because God forces this, but because it's brought into the world. Look at the book of Revelation chapter 19, 20, 21. You'll see that when Satan is bound for 1,000 years, there is no more war. He's the father of lies, a murderer, and the number one instigator of war for the sake of bloodshed to bring his powers across and to build more military weapons for his use in the future. War, the Word of God says war will continue until the end and desolations have been decreed. Referring to the Antichrist, verse 27, chapter 9 of Daniel, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7, a 7-year period. He will bring in the Middle East that will connect all these nations, that will bring everybody into alignment. He will bring a covenant with Israel. He'll stop the nuclear war, the annihilations. He will do all of this because he's plotted. He caused the problem, and he will bring what the world will think is an incredible miracle solution. And the world will believe him. Who can make war against the beast, they'll say, in the book of Revelation. He will come, and this is the context in which, on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation. He will set up an abomination. Yes, he's coming to try to rule from Jerusalem, in the temple. Right where Jesus Christ is going to return, prophesied that he's going to return. Satan wants to get there first. The counterfeit Christ, in all of his power, finite, the abomination of desolation. We have a session coming up that will deal in detail with that. It's spoken about here three times in Scripture, the revelation of the abomination of desolation that brings about the very end of human history as you and I know it. You go to chapter 11 concerning the Antichrist. He's called the king, political military leader. That's what it means. In Daniel, king will mean the political military leader. Will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and say and will say unheard of things against the God of gods, against the God of heaven. He will rail through that counterfeit incarnated body. Out of the mouth will come such things humans have never heard, railing against the God of heaven, leading the world to eventually unite and draw its powers to gather around Jerusalem, aim its weapons into the air, and seek to annihilate the descent of Christ in the second coming. That's what it's ultimately all about. Check out Revelation 19:19, soldier. World, the world's largest military system. I pray to God you will never be drawn into it. I pray to God you will never take the preparatory Psy Warrior, supernaturally enhanced, human enhancing military secret procedures that will only prepare you to yield to the most supernatural human being in human history, outside of Jesus himself. Soldier, turn to Christ, the living Christ that loves you, that can be with you, in you, where you are, that to die as a believer in Christ is to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. That is the word of God. The scriptures go on to say in chapter 11, referring to the Antichrist, he will be successful until the time of wrath is completed. For what has been determined must take place. He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers. Some refer that, meaning that he must be Jewish. It's very possible that the mother that is chosen to bear the high-bred Satan in human flesh would be a counterfeit to Mary. Mary in the bloodline that goes all the way back to Adam. It could be that there is a woman raised in satanic bloodlines, but in the Jewish inheritance or nation or people. I mean, after all, Judas was a Jew. Doesn't mean that if you're a Jew, you're automatically, you know, God's. If you're not born of the Spirit of God, read John's Gospel, chapter 3. Read chapter 1. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to anybody that did receive him, believe in his name, he gave the right to become the child of God, born not of national descent, not of history, not because you're born in Israel. If you have not received Messiah into your life, born of the Spirit of God, you are none of his. You read Romans chapter 8, without the Spirit of, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. It's very possible that the woman that bears the Antichrist would have bloodline to the Jews. It's part of its blasphemy. It's part of its counterfeit to the original, real God in human flesh, Christ. You, listen, the Antichrist is the counterfeit Emmanuel. Emmanuel was the infinite God by the Holy Spirit causing conception in the Virgin Mary. And the mix of God and man in one. In the Antichrist, you have the mix of finite satanic presence in the mix of human. Might have a face like a human, but behind the face, the masqueraded face, is the presence in the genetics, in the soul, in the spirit, in the body of the physical Antichrist, anthropos anamos, fully man, fully finite fallen cherub, counterfeit incarnation, counterfeit Emmanuel. Maybe born, could be, in some speculation, father, bloodline Assyrian, mother, Jewish. Would there be a reason then that he would have the ability to appeal to the Arab nation and to the Jews and get them to sign covenant? He's going to honor the God of fortresses, military, massive wealth will be in his hands. Verse 39 of chapter 11, the Antichrist will attack the mightiest fortresses. The United States will be attacked. Britain will be attacked. With the help of a foreign god. And he'll greatly honor all those kings and nations that will honor him. All those who will suck up to the Antichrist. Guaranteeing a low seat in hell itself. Kings of the earth have been warned 3,000 years ago in the book of Daniel, or in the book of Psalm chapter 2. King Juan Carlos, Queen Beatrix, Howard, Obama, across the world, the kings have been warned. If you've been listening to this simple little study out of the book of Daniel, you can get all the details 100% right. But if you don't know the living Christ, you've lost your soul, man. If you don't know the living Christ, you're in harm's way. I pray no matter where you are in the world, and listen, write to me if you've come to receive Christ, Savior and Lord. I simply, by the Spirit of God, would say, come out of the darkness to the living Christ. You can write me at shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Let me know if you've come to accept Christ. I'll send you hours and hours of materials to help you. I would send my prayer right now to all listening, wherever you are, whenever you're listening. I'm asking that God will flood His presence upon you. Stretch out His hand with supernatural presence, power, and grace. That He bring healing. That He would attack the demonic. That He would open your eyes and heart to come to receive Christ. John's Gospel, chapter 7, the greatest invitation. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, out of their inmost being will flow the power of the infinite Spirit of God, the presence of God. Come to Christ. This is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web.